You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
9 minutes after 11 South African time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My name is Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia. And my beloved Fadilatul Ustad Hazrat Maulana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Hafidhahullah is with us this morning. I want to welcome my engineer, Brother Lekono. Let's welcome the listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Ismail and Company. And let's welcome the listeners of Merkaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Ustad, we welcome you to the program this morning. Part 1, the bliss of marriage. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa arafat. Jazakallahu khairan. And thank you very much to our engineer, Lukolo.
Ameen, ameen, ameen. Somebody wants to know, Ustad, is adultery and fornication regarded as zina? Ustad.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nuswalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. First and foremost, we need to understand the difference between fornication and adultery. If the people, the male and female, are not married, then they commit this crime. It is called fornication. And for that, the Quran Kareem teaches us Surah 24, Surah Nur, in the 18th Juz, 18th Supara, that they will receive, both of them, the male and female, 100 lashes in public, azaniyatu azani, fajlidu kulla wahidin minhuma miyata jalla, that give each one of them in public 100 lashes, and do not show them any mercy and compassion, that's clearly enshrined in a noble Quran. Wal yashhad adhabahuma ta'ifatu min al-mu'mineen, a group of believers must be there to witness this punishment meted out. We see today's world that the Western society, they glorify fornication, adultery, and therefore you have the AIDS pandemic. In Islam, the punishments are a deterrent so that we have a pure and a chaste society. Where there is adultery, the husband and wife, they are married and Allah forbid, or they divorce also, and then they commit this crime of adultery, then there is a death penalty, and on that there is ijma and consensus. More than 54 sahaba narrate and report this hadith of death penalty in this instance. But Islam does not confine zina to that. Quran Kareem teaches us, وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشًا. Do not even go near fornication, adultery, as it is something indecent, obscene. So therefore, today people speaking to strange women, flirting with them, sending them emails, and remember SMS, all this here are the introduction to zina and sinful and haram. Likewise, today's society, people shaking hand and all that with the opposite gender when they are strangers, hugging them and talking, flirting with them. So all that in Islam constitutes zina as far as the beginning stages goes. So when Islam wants to solve a problem, Islam goes to the roots. And today's Western democratic, secular, satanic system, they want to solve the problem from the fruits, from the top. And remember that that is unacceptable. Always you must go to the root, and then you will eliminate the problem.
Ustad Anonymous says that, Mufti Sahab, my husband was drunk. He said to me 3 or 4 times, to me yesterday, to me that, to marry taraf se farigh hai jahan marzi chali ja. But I'm pregnant, Mufti Sahab. Somebody said it's not considered as talak because he was drunk. My question is that considered as talak or not? And if he wants to come back to me before my delivery, can he do that? Mufti Sahab.
In a case like this, remember, if the husband took intoxication, alcohol or drugs and so forth, and he issued the talak to his wife, the talak is valid, so that is not a valid excuse. But the words we need to see, He told you, tum chali jao, or maine tujhe farig kar diya, and so forth. If he made intention of talaq, then remember all three talaqs will take place. So my advice to you will be, both of you go to your local ulama or the jamiats and so forth, because both parties need to be present and in that way there. And if he's lying and all that, and you know definitely he gave you talaq, then you cannot sleep with him, you cannot fulfill his lust and desires and so forth. And remember, you will be in iddat, and your iddat will expire with the delivery of the baby. So today, because remember, drugs, alcohol, all this are so easily available, and it has infiltrated the Muslim society. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So we see more and more people are drinking alcohol, are getting involved with the scourge of drugs, Allah forbid. Therefore, we need to keep up with our salat, we need to read Quran Sharif, we need to keep contact with the ulama, haq, the correct ulama, the ulama on the right path, and keep contact with the jamaat, tabligh jamaat. Then we will stay away from these type of vices, and more so now, when we are about to enter December this weekend, and then next week, remember, things will go from bad to worse. People are in that celebratory mood, and end of the year parties and so forth. So people want to impress their friends. So they say, let me take a tot, let me take few gulps and nothing will happen. Remember, alcohol is addictive, and therefore Islam has condemned it from A to Z. Even one drop of alcohol is haram. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ma askara kathiruhu faqaleelu haram. What intoxicates in large quantities, even one drop of it is haram. The hadith in Mishkat Sharif and Musnad Ahmad. So yes, if he made intention, remember all three talaqs are valid, even though he was drunk and intoxicated.
Subhanallah. Someone wants to know, Ustad, that can a husband go into the grave to bury his wife only, Ustad?
Totally permissible according to all four schools. Even if that lady's father or brother or son are there, he, the husband, can still go inside the grave and bury his wife now, because he is not touching her skin to skin. The kafan is there. So this is permissible according to Shafi's, Maliki's, Hanbali's, Hanafi's, all four schools. Totally permissible. And you ask the people, who buried Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha? Her honorable husband, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, he buried Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha. So that also is a dalil and evidence it is permissible. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, authentic hadith in Abu Dawood and Ibn Majah, alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnatil khulafai rashideen al-mahdiyeen. It is compulsory and essential for you that you learn and you follow the sunnah of mine, my sunnah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sunnah, and you follow the sunnah of the rightly guided khulafa. This refers without a shadow of doubt to Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu majma'in. So therefore it is totally permissible.
Somebody wants to know, we start from Rainswood. They say, Mufti Saab, we close our factory and we're deciding, inshallah, myself and my wife and my kids, to go to China, inshallah, for the first 2 weeks of December. Mufti Saab, is it advisable for us to go there? Is it safe? Well, we want to know. What's the latest in China, Ustad?
Remember, it is safe in most parts of China, but we know that the Chinese regime is oppressing the rights of the Muslims, the Uyghur Muslims, and for 1 million and them, they have made life hell, and they are now giving them wine and swine, giving them, you know, this haram food and haram drinks and so forth, and they're being condemned, rightly so, by so many countries and so forth. So I would not really advise you just to go there for a chakkar and just for visit and so forth. So why must we go to such countries? countries that are really oppressing the Muslims. But if you want to go, then go to a place called Guangzhou. And there in Guangzhou you will find Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas radiallahu ta'ala and whose father is buried there. People say that the mazar of Sa'ad ibn Waqas is there. That's incorrect. I've been there myself many, many years ago. And remember, it's written there, Abu Sa'ad ibn Waqas. The people can't read Arabic properly. Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu is buried in Medina in Baqi, the hadith in Tirmidhi. So his father Waqas is buried there, remember. Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas, Abi Waqas is buried there in Guangzhou in China. So if you're really going, make sure you include Guangzhou in your trip there and itinerary, so at least you learn something about Islam and so forth. I don't know if that Imam is still there, but when I went, so the Imam's name was Imam Ismail. He couldn't speak any Arabic or English, but he could speak Urdu. So that was because he studied also in Pakistan, in Islamabad. So for you, the listeners, mashallah, of Markaz Sahaba, Sirius FM, so those of you who want to go to China, you should visit a place called Guangzhou. Very interesting.
The listeners are asking, Ustad, from Rainswood, is there any halal in Guangzhou, Ustad?
Remember that two things become a huge, huge problem when you go to China. One is the language, because 99% of the people there do not understand English. And you'll find 1-5% maximum who understand English properly. Secondly is that food is a huge, huge problem. So take some food with you. And there you will eat the fruit, you will eat the vegetable, you will eat the fish and so forth. However, there was a person, subhanallah, this is from Allah's fazl, Allah's mercy always, hadha min fadli rabbi. The day I landed in Guangzhou, that there was a person there, and he had a big beard. I walked straight to him, and I asked him, my brother, what's your name, and for who are you waiting? He said he is from Jeddah, and he lives there in China, and mashallah, some of his family members were coming. So I said, please give me your cell phone number. And he was very good. He gave me his details. Every day I used to contact him. And mashallah, he should tell me, go here, go there. So there are certain trains you will have to take. And there is one whole street there that where you will find halal food. Meaning they claim it's halal, that you will find a Yemeni restaurant, you will find a Pakistani restaurant, the Indian restaurant, Lebanese restaurant. So we used to go there, but I would not eat the meat or anything. We would just eat the vegetable or fish and so forth. So just try and find out before time what is the street's name, because these streets here are very difficult to remember. So there is one street there in Guangzhou. You will find over 10-15 restaurants there that they are halal according to them. But as I told you, I always have a lot of doubt regarding these people. So therefore, we just used to eat fish and vegetable or fruit and what have you. Fruit you can buy anyway, mashallah. Very nice fruit there in China.
Jazakumullah khairan, Ustad. Ustad, can a girl marry without her parents' consent? Is this nikah valid in the eyes of Allah or not?
Almighty Allah Jalla Wala informs us in the noble Quran, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ أَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. What Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded you to do, so that is what you must accept. وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ أَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. And what Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited you from, so from that you must abstain. So this is clearly enshrined in a noble Quran, and each one of us should understand it properly. It is mentioned in Surah chapter 59, verse number 7. Chapter Surah 59, verse 7, in the 28th Juz, 28th Supara of the Noble Quran. So what Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded, do what he prohibited us, so we must abstain. The hadith is authentic in Tirmidhi, in Nasai, in Ibn Majah, and Abu Dawood. Various books you will find. Mustafa rahmatul lil alameen sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, la nikaha. When we say la ilaha, it means nafyul jins. We are negating everybody, everything. There is no deity, there is no god, small g, illallah, except Almighty Allah, the one and only supreme being. So look at it in this context, la nikaha. There is no nikah. The nikah is null and void, is not valid. Illa bi waliyin, except with the consent of the father, biological father, and the father must be Muslim also. So he, the father, must give permission. If the father is deceased, then the grandfather, paternal grandfather, papa, the pasapa, opa. So remember the dada. So the paternal grandfather must give permission. If he's not there, then the brother of this lady, brother, don't mean now one youngster, 8, 10 years old. He must be baligh, 20, 25, 30, like that. He must be mature and sane and mature. If he's not there, then the uncle, the paternal uncle, her father's brother, the chacha, the kaka. So these type of people have to give permission. Then only will the nikah be valid. According to the Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanbali's, majority jurists and scholars, if that lady gets married without the father's consent and the people I mentioned, then that nikah is null and void, they're living in sin, and the children, if children are born from that marriage, so-called marriage or union, then they will be illegitimate children, and the lineage will go to the mother. According to the Hanafi school, remember in this case here, where the lady is aqila, baligha, sane and mature, and she gets married without the permission of her father, then we will see, according to the Hanafi school, and this is the fatwa of the Hanafis, and remember, I'll give you the references just now. So if she married someone who's not compatible, not suitable for her, she's bringing disgrace to the family, that person does not read salat, that person's income is tainted, polluted, that person there, remember, his aqidah may not be according to Ahlul Sunnah, he's a Shia who's non-Muslim, Shia's a non-Muslim, or Qadianis, Ahmadis, all that. So obviously in all these cases the nikah is null and void, according to Hanafis also. And if she got married to someone who is her kuf, compatible, suitable to her, but without the permission of her father, then the nikah will be valid according to Hanafis only, but still it will be frowned upon and disliked. So that is the fatwa. You want reference? Go open the Grand Mufti of Pakistan, Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahimahullah, in his Imdadul Muftin, page 551, 551, he has passed the fatwa and said, go see Fatawa Alamgiri, Fatawa India, as it is called, and Bahrul Ra'iq and Shami and all the fatwa kitab, the famous kitab, that this is the fatwa of the Hanafi school. So many a time the Hanafi ulama themselves, the way they mention it is misleading. So this is the fatwa of the Hanafi school.
Subhanallah, Ustad. Somebody says, respected Mufti Saab, is it permissible to read istikhara for the same reason after getting a negative answer? That is, after 6 months or a year, thinking that perhaps circumstances have changed. Ustad.
Here there are three issues. This morning also I answered one young brother, or was it a sister? They said, can they contact their Maulana, and their Maulana Imam will then perform the istikhara on their behalf. So I said, that is not the Sunnah way and method. The proper way, the Sunnah way, is the person in question, he or she, must make the istikhara themselves. And istikhara, you don't have to make long, long du'as and supplications. Read the du'a mentioned in Tirmidhi. Allahumma, O beloved Allah, khir li, select the best for me. Wakhtar li, and you choose for me. Read with me. Allahumma khir li, khara, khere, khir li, wakhtar li. Ya Allah, Jalla wala, you select the best for me, and you choose for me. So that is what they should be doing. And inshallah, in that way there, that whatever comes in the heart, that is your decision. You don't have to sleep, you don't have to dream and all that. All that is people have written, but it's not something which the Sharia has really mentioned. It is just the rai, an opinion of some ulama, they wrote this. So anyway, whatever comes in your heart, that is your answer. Now, your answer was negative. Now you say, okay, 3 months, 6 months, 1 year has passed, let me try again. Maybe circumstances have changed. So is it permissible? Yes, it's permissible. Always remember, istikhara is that you want to look at which is the best option, and all the options are permissible. Can I marry Zainab, Fatima, Jamila, Aisha? So that is, or to marry all of them is permissible, but you want to marry one of them. So the answer came out negative. So now you try again, so that's fine. But if the options are haram, then obviously it's not permissible to make istikhara in the first place.
We go to, this is anonymous ustad, and it says, I'm from overseas. It says, Mufti Saab, after breastfeeding, my breasts have gone down south. My husband is insisting I go for a boob job, ustad. Please advise.
So you must remember that in these kind of cases, yeah, that is not permissible for you to go for an operation or something. Yes, Allah forbid. If it is, you must remember, an accident or something, and oh, for example, you get to go for a, you know, operation on it for health reasons, and then to restructure it or something, that will be permissible. But just for aesthetic reasons and just to beautify yourself and so forth, people say no, it's for the husband. But when you're going to walk in the street and all that, you're going to interact with other women, all that, so everybody can see that something has happened here. Yeah? So therefore, remember that it's natural, you're going to get old and so forth, so then it will go a little bit, you'll understand, out of shape or whatever you. So after breastfeeding and so forth, so how many operations you will go for? So in cases like that, we will say that no, it's not permissible, unacceptable.
We go to South Africa. Somebody says, Ustad, I have 12 sons from 2 different wives. We all live together. In the event of my first wife passing on, who will inherit from her belongings? How must it be distributed, Ustad? Anonymous.
When a person has 2, 3, 4 wives and any one of the wife passes away, then the first person to inherit will be you, the husband. You will inherit 25%. Then we have to see, does she, the lady who passed away, does she have parents? So if there are parents alive, they will inherit 1/6, 1/6, collectively 1/3. So 25% for you, the husband, and then for her parents, the deceased parents, 1/6, 1/6, and that will be collectively 1/3. Then the remainder, the residue that is there, that will go to her children. So whatever her children are, if it's sons only, so then it will go to her sons. If they're sons and daughters, then the remainder residue will go to sons and daughters, and the ratio will be 2 to 1. So that is how it will be distributed and divided.
Somebody wants to know, Ustad Anonymous says that, Mufti Saab, I need your advice and assistance. We sell men's medicine like Viagra, Ustad, to help other people. And if we sell to non-Muslims and they use it when they were their girlfriends and the income is halal, can some of that money be given as lilla? Is that okay, Ustad?
When you know, like today, the society is abusing it, 90%, 80% of the people today use condoms, they use Viagra, all that for haram purposes. You know that also. You are a pharmacist or whatever you. So in a case like that, Quran Karim states, Surah 5, verse 2, وَلَا تَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Do not cooperate in sin and in vices and transgression and so forth. So best is you abstain and you don't sell it, because your income definitely will become tainted and polluted. Muslim must not just look at how to make quick money. Muslim must see that his income must be halal and tayyiba. When your income is halal, lawful, tayyib and pure, then what you consume will also be halal and tayyiba. And then the actions that will flow, kulu min at-tayyibati wa amalu saliha, then you will find that the good actions will come. And when our income is tainted, polluted or haram, then we're consuming that what is doubtful and tainted, polluted or haram. Then remember, the vices become very, very easy, because input output principle will apply. So always remember this principle of Islam.
Ustad, a sister from Europe wants to know, I need to know, Mufti Saab, watching nudity has become so common nowadays that people don't take it as a wrong thing. Instead, they laugh if one warns them and they say, ah, baby, just grow up. No one is baby but fear from the God. Ustad, sister from Austria.
Remember, therefore, we say that today the Muslims themselves have brought shaitan in their homes. You go to 100 Muslim homes, you will find that 90 of them got the videos, they got the TVs, they got the movies, all these type of things. So when we get accustomed to all these haram things, then they will speak about, no, it's fine, it's acceptable. That sheikh, that maulana, that mufti appears on TV and so forth. So you must remember that it's got nothing to do with Islam. You must ask any maulvi, any imam, any sheikh who's appearing on TV or says it's permissible, then answer these two questions. Surah 24, Surah Nur, verses 30-31. Almighty Allah states, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُدُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Tell the believing men, they must lower their gazes, وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ, and protect the private part. Now when you have all this in the house, which person today won't see a woman on the screen, in the news, in the movies, and what and what, and everyone has got haram in it. They got women, they got music, they got nudity, the adverts are haram, promoting alcohol. And worse, you must remember that today homosexuality, abortion, according to them, is all legal and permissible. Then the next verse, Surah 24, verse 31, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْدُدُنَا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَظُنَا فُرُوجَهُنَّ. That, and tell the believing women that they must lower their gazes and protect the private part. Now you, sister, you are in Europe, in Austria, or whichever country you are in. So remember that when we, the Ummah, now we take this lightly, then you will see majority of these people are getting involved in zina, or their marriages don't last, because you must remember what they see on the screen, in the films, they want to fantasize, and they want to do all these type of things. And therefore now, the husband, he is khabis, is impure, and the wife is tayyiba, so things don't click. Or remember, the wife is khabisa and the husband is tayyib. They will say he's just a sleepy guy and he doesn't have anything, you'll understood. He's just making dua the whole time, or he's half asleep. So that is the problem today. We brought the poison in our home, and then you see that our family life today, leave non-Muslim for a moment, look at Muslims across the world, and South Africa included, you will find that divorce is spiraling out of control. And one of, there are multi reasons, but one of the many reasons is this TV and the movies and the pornography and nudity that is causing the breakdown of family life. Wallahu al-musta'an, only Almighty Allah can help us. When people consider it so light, actually there's a big question mark whether they have iman or they don't have iman. Something that is totally haram and they consider it so light, that's a sign 100% of munafiqeen and hypocrites.
Allahumma hafazna. Jazakumullah khairan for that. Ustad, I see Ba from Nigel says, Biju Ba, I got one for you for the humor. He says, Ba, who can lend me money for Black Friday? I will pay you back on Good Friday.
So you must remember that. Remember that people regarding Black Friday, is good this question came. Because this week, yeah, if you just see the newspapers, you listen to the adverts on the TV, on the radio, TV also, obviously, we don't have TV, but you can see from the questions that people are posing. So this is this morning's news. While having breakfast, I listen to the radio, other non-Muslim radio, and they say, we're giving the history. They said that this Black Friday started many decades ago in America, and the world has caught it on later on, including South Africa. So the past few years it has caught on, and they're warning the people that don't go overboard, because you will end up with a trail of debts. People just go and swipe their card, and then they realize what debt they have gone into. Anyway, three issues here. For Muslims to advertise Black Friday sale, all that totally unacceptable, not permissible. For us, every Friday is Nurani Friday, filled with radiance, effulgence, and light and luster. So to call it Black Friday is an insult to the Muslim, and Islam, remember that. These non-Muslims, when they want to say something is bad, then they'll say blackmail, and you know, that Black September, and Black this, and Black that. So they give it a negative connotation. Second one is this, it's imitating the non-Muslim culture and customs. So to advertise like that, definitely not permissible. وَلَا تَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ الْعُدْوَانِ. But if there is something that you really need, and it is on cheap and special, you go and buy it, so that's fine, it's permissible. Your deal will be, the transaction will be valid. So these are the points we must remember. So for us, my brother, every Friday is a good Friday.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. I see brother Michael from Washington, D.C. giving his input to start. He says that how come in the Donald Trump and the government, the prices comes low on a Friday specials? How come?
Yes, it comes down on a cheaper, but remember, they know how capitalism works, my brother Michael. You go there to your big stores and see, you know them better than me, and see the mind games they play with you. They will tell you the deposit price is so much. So that's written in big letters. And remember the retail price, you will see that is written in smaller letters. So this is how they play the mind game. So similarly, now they will tell you the last Friday in November, it is cheap price, do this. Mm. So I told you, people, you know in America, that people will just swipe their cards. And then when the time comes of December, the time comes for January, now it's time to pay the bill. Now they're wondering what happened. Now they will go back to the bank and say, now we need facilities, we need overdraft, all that. That is how, remember, capitalism works. Supply and demand, and then interest comes in. So that is why Islam condemns it, because end of the day, the result is the rich get richer, the poor get poorer, and interest is glorified. And two industries Islam has condemned A to Z. One is the industry of interest, and one is the industry of alcohol. Just on this point, you know, Michael, when I came to America the first time, and the brothers were taking me around, and I saw there by your filling stations, you know, that there things are different in America compared to here in South Africa. There you go yourself and you fill your petrol or diesel, and then they even charge you for air, you know, to put air in the tires, they charge there. Few garages, filling stations you will get, they will tell you free air. Yeah, whole of South Africa, I don't know of a single garage that will charge you. Remember, it is free, so this type of thing. But that is how capitalism works. They will tell you nothing for nothing, you must pay. And if you can't pay, then you swipe your card and then you pay interest. So you think you are getting it cheap, but you must remember in the long run, it is detrimental to you and to the society because you're getting involved in the debt trap. People go more and more into debts, and that is the result of capitalism.
Brother Michael says, that's America, Ustad. Let's go to the next question. Somebody says here, this is from, okay, I'm reading it to start, from Maputo. I made this tihara mufti sab to walk out or to stay in my marriage. After reading the salah, I made lots of dua with two papers. One said stay, one said leave. I did this three times and each time it said stay. Was this a permissible way to get clarity? I've got two kids, Ustad.
Remember that the paper story is not something sunnat, and that you read Allahumma khirli wakhtarli, that remember, Ya Allah, you select the best for me and choose for me. The hadith in Tirmidhi, what comes in your heart, what comes in your mind, that is the criteria. But nevertheless, this time the paper thing worked for you, and that's the same advice we will give. As the Quran Sharif mentions, wasulhu khair. That reconciliation is the best. So, and you got two masoom children, innocent children. So yes, your husband has 101 weaknesses, it seems, but you also might be having some weakness. So in that case there, let the children be the binding factor and cry to Almighty Allah, Ya Wadood, Ya Wadood, Ya Wadood. You will hear one of the nasiha that, you know, that every day we give out nasiha. So you will hear it in this week, that remember a lady came and she complained of her husband and said he's one of the worst people on the earth. She came to Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam and she requested, Fafarrik baini wa baina zawjati, Ya Rasulallah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you please separate me and my husband. I can't, he's the worst. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam even smiled because he knew the woman is emotional. Thereafter, the husband came. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them, put your heads together. He made dua. Allahumma adni baynahuma. Ya Allah, make both of them close to one another and let the hearts be united and so forth. So lo and behold, sometime 3 months, 6 months passed. Then she came and said, Ya Rasulallah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my husband is the most beloved person to me in the whole entire world. Illa anta, besides you. You are more beloved to me. But besides you, oh Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is the most beloved. So therefore, you don't just be emotional and break the home. And their masoom innocent children, they will be the brunt and suffer. So therefore, in these cases, rather let the children be such that they are the uniting factor.
Allahu Akbar. Beautiful answer, Ustaz. Ustaz, you have to listen to this one. Yeah. The sister says, I was one of them, a Mufti Sab. I was very vulnerable and I was very emotional. I'm married for 6.5 years and my marriage counselor told me, walk out, walk out, walk out. And she followed the marriage counselor and I walked out, Mufti Sab. And today, after giving birth, the same marriage counselor, he wants to be with me. Ustad, what do I do? I want to go back to my husband. I made a mistake. I was vulnerable. I was emotional. Why did I listen to the marriage counselor? Anonymous, Ustad.
Why did you go to him in the first place? He had an ulterior motive and a hidden agenda. And he will just use you and then drop you. So you must remember that what you need to do in this case here, that you must see that how many talaq did your husband give you. If he gave you one or two talaq, so if he gave you two talaq, so it's fine. Now your iddat is finished, you gave the birth, everything. It seems that your talaq he gave to you whilst you were pregnant.
Correct.
So in that case there, he still has one talaq left. So both of you can reconcile, but a new nikah must be performed. And remember that is ijma and this consensus, but he must know and you must make it very clear to him. If you reconcile, he only has one talaq left. If he issues one more talaq, then that will constitute and that will be considered as the third talaq.
Ustach wants to know, and to the marriage counselor, do I expose him or do I just tell him to leave?
Remember, just sever all ties with him and tell people that there are people in your family, friends, that this is what this person does. And in that way there, you should take lesson and inform people whenever you know a certain person, whether he is a counselor or a travel agent or whether it is a person that causing, you know, as a menace to society, then in Islam you need to expose such people because they will cause greater harm to people. So that is not considered as ghibat, that is considered as a great ibadat to save the people from greater harm.
Who said a student of Deen from Azadville, Mufti Sab, I want to marry, but my dad says I have 2 more years to complete my studies. What should I do?
I'm not sure that who you are you a male or you are a female. If you are a female, remember, then the thinking of your parent is totally incorrect. When you receive a good proposal, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised the hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, إِذَا خَطَبَ إِلَيْكُمْ مِمَّنْ تَرْضَوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ, that when someone proposes to you and you are happy with his deen, he belongs to the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, not Qadiani and Shia and this non-Muslims like them, Qadiani, Shia, and you go, you're happy and pleased with their character, fazawwiju, then get your daughter, your sister, your niece married to that person. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلْ, if you do not do so, تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ أَرِيثٌ, then there will be mayhem, chaos on this earth. And if it is a boy, remember that you know your situation. So today, everywhere there's fitna and so forth. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala used to say, he is the faqih, one of the big muftis, grand muftis of this ummah. Hypothetically, in 10 days time, on the 8th of Rabi'ul Akhir, I will die. It's just hypothetically, argument's sake. He said, I will still get married with the fear of falling into fitna and haram. So imagine that was the golden era of Islam. So therefore, in both instances, remember that your father's advice there is not sound advice. It is being very, very selfish and un-Islamic as well.
13 minutes to 12. We're going to go, inshallah, for an interval break. When we come back, my beloved, beautiful listeners of Al Ansar and of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, don't go away. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Markaz Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
9 minutes to 12. You are tuning and listening to The Bliss of Marriage, 084-786-3134. Let's welcome the listeners of Sirius FM and the listeners of Markaz Sahaba. We'll start the question before this. The sister says about the studies that she is a female. She's got 2 more years for her Alima course. And the father is a Maulana. So should she follow the father's advice or not to start?
Remember, when your father is a Maulana, he should know better for you to complete your Alima course. And there is not something compulsory for you to get married, especially in this day and this age. That is what you should be focusing on. So you must be around 18, 20 years old. So my advice to you, and you should discuss it with your father, that Alima today, we got too many Alimas. You know now the basics. So now you go leave your Darul Uloom and Madrasa or wherever, and then you start learning how to run a home, how to cook, how to clean, how to do all these type of things. And 3 months, 6 months, good proposal came. Then before Ramadan, you get married, or after Ramadan in Shawwal, you get married. So that will be the ideal thing for you to do.
Who said, my good friend from Pretoria, Brother Luqman, he says, please ask Mufti Sahab, can I marry 4 wives on the same day? Is it jais? Is it permissible, Ustad?
Remember that, brother, first and foremost, you must be able to make justice. That is the first issue. Second issue, do you have the financial means? Otherwise, one by one, all of them will leave you. Third one, do you have the physical means there to fulfill their conjugal rights and so forth? To marry 1 wife, 2 wives, 3 wives, 4 wives on one day, that's fine. Provided they are happy and their father, each one's father, give permission, which in most instances I don't think they will give. But nevertheless, hypothetically, you asking, so it's permissible. But it's not carte blanche. All these are conditions. And in this day and this age, remember that 80% of the Muslim husbands, they don't do justice. Therefore, for them to get married to second, third, fourth wife is not permissible. As the Quran Kareem teaches you, Surah 4, verse number 3, فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا فَوَاحِدًا. When you know you can't do justice and you fear it, then 1 wife only.
Ustad, we go to Durban. There's a listener listening to The Bliss of Marriage from Balito. Mufti Sahab, I have cancer and don't have long to live. Should I get married, Mufti Sahab? I have stage 4 cancer. Your advice from Balito.
Remember, in a case like that, I don't know that whether you're male or female, but for this answer, yeah, it wouldn't make much difference.
Male, Ustad.
Male. My advice to you, rather, that now you know, each one of us do not know when we will die and so forth. That only Almighty Allah knows. But yeah, medically speaking, they told you already you got cancer, you're in stage 4, and according to their prognosis, that's the word they use, the medical fraternity, their prognosis, they're telling you that you got 3 months, 6 months, 1 year or so, and then you will pass away. Obviously, we don't accept that. We say everything happens with a decree of Almighty Allah and not with their degrees. So remember that first. But if you want my advice, just forget getting married, solve and sort out all your things. If you got debts, make sure all the debts are paid. If you got assets, start writing your will and prepare that. Third one, fasabbih bihamdi rabbika wa astaghfir. Quran is saying, when you know that now death is imminent, so read abundantly, Subhanallah bihamdihi, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Read as much Quran Sharif, make abundant zikr. If Allah gave you wealth and so forth, so do good deeds every day. Help this one, help that one, and so forth. So in that way, that you empower people and you meet Almighty Allah Jalla Wala with a smile. So then forget the wife and everything. It will just complicate issues, and then there'll be inheritance and so many other issues will come about.
Ustad, I work two shifts because I want to be the best of husbands and provide the best for my wife and kids, Ustad. Rumors are going around that I'm busy with our secretary at my second job. She's a chaste and parda lady. Our names are in the gutter. I don't want to lose my second job because it pays the bills. What do I do now, Ustad, from Johannesburg?
You must remember that if you are working in a place where you and that lady, even though she's in parda, that if you are alone there, then obviously you're compromising your own situation. So maybe you are working at night and so forth. So you're giving people ammunition to shoot you. So therefore, Mustafa, see, I give you an example. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sitting for i'tikaf. He is, he was, he is, he will always be the most beloved, the most precious to Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. And the Master alayhi salatu salam, the wife Sayyida Safiya radiallahu anha, and them came to speak to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, maybe you need something while you're in i'tikaf. It's night time. Two Sahaba passed and they saw what's happening. Nabi alayhi salatu salam called them and said, see, that this is my wife. They said, Ya Rasulullah, inna lillah, how can we ever think anything negative? You are, you were, you are, you will always be the most beloved to Almighty Allah. But Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is setting the precedent for humanity and posterity. Then the Master alayhi salam told them, remember that the shaitan, that what he does, inna shaitana yajri min al insani majraddam. How your blood flows in your veins, the shaitan will come. And you waswisu fi sudurin nas, min al jinnati wan nas. There will be the waswasa and the whisperings of shaitan. So therefore, you must be very, very careful. So if now, ye Nabi alayhi salam is teaching us, don't compromise yourself. So you are compromising yourself. And whether it's true, not true, that is not the point. The point is you are giving people ammunition to shoot you. So therefore, you need to think properly what to do.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. Ustad, 1.5 minutes to end and to terminate the bliss of marriage. Ustad, our rundown throughout the day.
Inshallah, next up will be 12 o'clock news with Brother Yusuf Ali. And thereafter, we will have, inshallah, the current affairs with Brother Alphas Nkosi between 12 and 1 after the news. 1 o'clock will be Dhuhr Adhan. And thereafter, 5 past 1 to half past 1, inshallah, we'll continue with the tafsir of Surah Wal Fajri. And thereafter, half past 1 to 2, we go to our archives. And that is Suratul Hajj. And that is verse Surah chapter 22, verses 38 to 40, inshallah. And thereafter, remember, 2 to 3 will be our brother Sheikh Zakaria. Ma'allah, in the mercy of Almighty Allah, Jalla Wala. Then 3 to 5.30, our brother Yusuf Ali with the afternoon show, inshallah. 5.30 to 7, Mohana Khalid Yaqub from our Durban studio, mashallah. And that will be the Maghrib and Surahs and advices. 7 to 7.30 will be the repeat of my tafsir that you will hear today, inshallah, between 5 past 1 and 1.30. 7.30 to 8, inshallah, will be the advices by Hazrat Mohana Yunus Patel, rahimahullah. 8 to 9, Mohana Bilal Katrada with Tech Watch. So wonderful lineup. Make dua for us and the Ummah and Muslimah throughout the world. Barakallahu feek. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ustaz, jazakumullahu khairan. We will be seeing you people tomorrow morning, inshallah, with our program, As-Safinatu ila al-Jannah. Up next, the 12 o'clock news with handsome Yusuf Ali.